Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. If you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read this verse this morning? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Let's read it together, please. Thou shalt not steal. Father, we do thank you this morning. A lot of folks laugh because we know what happened to our pastor this last week. But this is a very, very serious and somber verse. God, help us to learn what you have for us today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be better Christians for being here today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, saving them from their sin, I pray before they leave this room today, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'll ask that you, of course, make sure your cell phones and electronic devices are turned off. You may have wondered why were people snickering when he read, "Thou shalt not steal." I'll give you the opening illustration and then you'll join with us. Somebody stole some of my stuff this week. You say, "Well, is that why you're preaching on it?" No, I'm still upset, and I thought, why shouldn't you be upset too? Well, you shouldn't just go ahead and get aggravated. I was preaching revival meeting in Visalia, driving down on Monday, and my wife was with me. We stopped in the Sacramento area in a really nice area there for lunch. New area, all kinds of restaurants around and everything else. Middle of the day, our stuff was in the back of the SUV, our SUV, when the restaurants sat down. That was a sizzler. So you can eat all you want. And I was ready. Primed. I just got through the salad, which is frankly the worst part of the meal. I like what a Texan said when he saw a salad bar. He said, "Food eats that stuff." But I'd had my salad, so I'd got my nutrition in. Just finished my salad. I was headed for the chicken wings and onion rings. And the manager of the restaurant came up and said, "Do you drive a silver Highlander, Toyota Highlander?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Someone just smashed the back window of your car and stole some stuff out of your car and the car next to you." So I got up and went out there, and sure enough, glass all over the place. And looked in the back of my car. Our clothes were in there, our suitcase and garment bag. We took our golf clubs with us, hoping to get a little quick round of golf in down there. And my briefcase. And all they grabbed was my briefcase, which had my Bibles in it, my bunch of sermons, my calendar, my tablet, all kinds of stuff. All my work was in the briefcase. That was the quickest thing they could grab. So, pew, they grabbed it. This is the middle of the day. Cars all over the place. People coming and going. Folks were standing there, and we were talking, and the guy in the restaurant next door said, "Well, all we know is it was a car pulled up. A guy jumped out, smashed the window, smashed the other window, and the car next to you grabbed some stuff, pew, and took off." No one got license plate numbers or anything like that. So, you know, we went to the process of trying to clean up and get out of there and then call the police, of course, and they said, "We don't come on stuff like that. Now you'll just have to file a report online or go to the police station and report that in." And so we had just enough time to get from where we were to Visalia. If you don't know where that is, it's the other side of Fresno, preaching that night, Monday night. So we drove over to the police station, filed the report. Of course, the lady there was just really sweet and understanding. I'm being facetious on that. And I filed the report, which took a few minutes, and I go, "Anything else?" And she goes, "That's it." I said, "You gonna call me?" She goes, "Sure." I thought, okay. So I had to make a decision then about, were we gonna have enough time to get to Visalia? Was I gonna drive down there with no window in the back of the car? My wife's parents live in Sacramento, so I called them and I said, "We're gonna come by for a minute." I didn't want to explain it all on the telephone. We drove over to their house, they saw it. I said, "Look," I called the pastor and I said, "Car's been broken into, my briefcase is gone." I said, "My Bibles are gone. The sermons I brought to preach, they're gone. And he said, well, you make up your mind what you want to do. You don't have to. If you don't want to, we'll call the meeting off, or you can come, or whatever you want to do. I prayed about it, and after trying to be spiritual when you're aggravated is really difficult. So I told my in-laws, I said, look, can I borrow your car? They said, yes. So they had a pickup truck. Threw everything in the pickup truck, and we took off. We got to the service about 15, 20 minutes late, something like that. Ran the hotel, threw everything in the hotel. We sorted our clothes and stuff. Threw everything in the hotel. I don't have a Bible to preach from. My wife had her Bible, a pink Bible. God was trying to teach me something here. So I got some pad of paper they have in the hotel on the desk. I scratched down a few thoughts, put it in her Bible. I thought, I don't have a Bible. I'm preaching from a pink Bible. I don't have my outline notes. This is not good. Went to church, preached all the way down there and everything else. Be honest with you, all the stuff didn't matter to me, but my Bible, I had a Bible in that briefcase I've been preaching from for 30 years. I've taken it with me all over the world. Had outlines written in that Bible that I've been preaching for 30 years. And that grieved me more than anything else. All the rest of that stuff is replaceable. I can get another briefcase, I can get another tablet, I can get all that other stuff. But that Bible and I have been together for 30 years. And all the way driving down there, I thought to myself, they're just going to go through there and find what's valuable and throw the rest of it in a trash can or just chuck it on the side of the road, and that's going to be the end of it. They don't even realize how important this is to me. So I did my best to try and preach that night and keep my mind on what I was doing, and left the church that night, driving back to the hotel, checked my phone. The man whose car was broken into, he and I went to the police station same time. The businessman flying into Sacramento in a rental car, and they stole his clothes, they stole everything. But in his briefcase with his tablet and laptop and information in it, all that stuff. So we exchanged phone numbers in case we need to contact one another we're going to start a support group. It's called the Smash Window Brothers. And he left a voicemail on my phone and said, someone called, they have your briefcase, and everything's in it but your tablet. He said, I got it. Now, he was in Sacramento. I was in Visalia. And he said, I have it. What would you like me to do with this? I went over and picked it up. They set it in front of a Starbucks, and they threw his business cards and stuff out. They kept his clothes and everything, but they just threw the business card. Well, the lady who found the briefcase picked up the business card, called his number, and said, is this your briefcase? He said, no, but I know whose it is. And he went over and got it from this lady. This man I only met in the Smash Glass Brothers class. And I said, I'm in Visalia. I'm here a few days preaching. He goes, look, I'm driving through Reading tomorrow. I'll just drop it off at your church for you if you like. I said, well, that's very kind. I appreciate that. And he came by here and dropped my briefcase off. So I lost the tablet, and I got to pay the window deductible, smashed window thing, and all that kind of stuff. Man, I was so glad to get my Bible back. That which is most precious to me. So say, why are you preaching on thou shalt not steal, Pastor Johnson? Because we all understand what it means to have something taken from you that's yours. Yes? When God said thou shalt not steal, it's part of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the reasons they say they don't want the Ten Commandments up in Congress. You can't lie, you can't steal, you can't commit adultery. I mean, it's really, Congress can't take the pressure. But the truth of the matter is, God put that in there because he wanted us to understand. Listen now, and this is the sermon today. Not only are you not supposed to take something that's not yours, you're not supposed to take something that's not yours. I know most of the people in this room. I would trust you with just about everything but my golf clubs. I mean, I believe there are a bunch of people of honesty and integrity in this room who would live and die by some basic principles of, if it's not yours, you don't take it. But have you ever considered what makes us all a thief in some respect? See, people, Thou shalt not steal means you cannot take what is not yours. So Pastor Johnson, I mean, I would never do anything like that. I would never take what's not mine. The Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Thou shalt not steal. You cannot take your life for yourself. It's not your life. Oh, now wait a minute. You say, well, I thought we were going to talk about, you know, briefcases and money or somebody's car or something like that. No, that's just stuff. The most precious thing you have is the life God has given you. But that life is not yours. But it's my life. I'll do what I want to with it. No, thou shalt not steal. It is not your life. It is not your life to do with it as you choose, the way you choose, with what you want, the way. It's not yours. See, God gave you and I, He gave us life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If we understand the Bible correctly, at conception, when the seed of man and the seed of woman come together, that is not just an accident of biological function. That is an absolute touch of the God of heaven who put the seed of man and seed of woman together. And at that very moment, that is a life. And God gave that seed of man and seed of woman a life. And He had intentions for that life. Now, we can go into all the explanations about, well, what about this and that and diseases and problems. We can discuss all that at another moment today. But let me just talk to you about your life. The fact that the God of heaven did not put you on this earth for an accident, for just any reason but to live and breathe. He gave you the life you have today. My life is not my own, and neither is yours. It's interesting how people, they would no more consider going into a 7-Eleven with a gun and put a gun to a person's head and steal from them. They would no more consider that. If they found a dollar bill laying on the sidewalk, they'd no more take that and put it in their pocket because it's just their own and Merry Christmas. They would no more think of that. They would no more think of going into a business and taking something from that business and robbing them of it. They would no more consider that than anything on this planet, but then turn right around and say, but it's my life and I'll do what I want to with it. That's just as much stealing as putting the gun to the head of somebody in a grocery store and taking everything in the till. Because it's not your life. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, you're telling me I'm a thief? Yes. We're thieves when we take our lives for ourselves. We're thieves when we take our lives to live the way we want to. We're thieves when we take a life that just to do whatever we want to with it and live whatever way we want to live and do whatever it is we want to do. Because after all, it's my life. No, it's not. You were given that life. It's an old good expression. Your life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. He gave you a life for a reason. First of all, it's the life He gave you to know Him. God did not create us just to live, breathe, and exist on this planet and drop dead someday. That is not the purpose, and that is not the point. He gave you life so you could know Him. And to know Him is to know Christ as your personal Savior. That's why Jesus came. That's what we remembered this morning, that He gave Himself for us. Why? To purchase us, to redeem us, the Bible calls it, to give His life a ransom for many, Isaiah 53 says. That for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He presents this eternal life, forgiveness, redemption from hell, salvation as a free gift. Because it's been purchased by Jesus Christ. Those thieves that reached in there and took that briefcase out of there, they didn't buy that briefcase. They didn't buy anything in that briefcase. They stole what someone else paid for, and now they're going to use it for whatever it is they want to do. And you want to know something, ladies and gentlemen? The truth is, when I got the briefcase back and I came home, my son Marcus here, our youth director, said, I had him pick it up when the man dropped it by, and I called him. I said, are my Bibles in there? He said, yes, they are. When I got home, then the briefcase was waiting on me, and I took it home. My wife said, are you going to Are you going to wipe it all down and clean it all up and everything? I said, no, it looks okay. It's been touched by unholy hands. Well, I didn't wash my hands every time I touched it, so it's no big deal. It's okay. I got the briefcase back. That's all that really matters, but that wasn't theirs to take. And your life is not yours to do with it as you choose. Now listen to me. You can. You can cut your own path if you want to. You can walk right by salvation, a bloody cross, an empty tomb, and say, that's nice, but that's not enough, or that's not for me, or whatever it is you want to do. You go right ahead. God will give you that. God gives us, we are free moral agents. We have the ability to say yes or no. That's why he made us different from the creatures. But the bottom line is still this. You're still taking something that's not yours. He gave you life so you could know him, and knowing him is knowing Christ as your Savior. But see, for a vast majority of people in this room, that's questions already settled. You've already settled that matter. You know Jesus as your Savior. You've accepted him, and not because you go to church, but because you're in repentance of faith, you accepted Christ as your Savior. Ah. Now you're cut loose. You can go do whatever you want to do, because now it's your life. He saved you just to live your life the way you want, huh? Nope. You're still not your own. Now you are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ, and you know the price that was paid for you. And we're going to do what with this now? Hey, we're going to take our salvation and our fire insurance, and we're just going to cut our own path? Wrong. Thou shalt not steal. Now, listen, Christian friend, my saved brother and sister in Christ, your responsibility is to know why he gave you salvation and his will for your life and to live for that purpose. Otherwise, it's stealing. Now you're taking the life he's given you. You're going to heaven and nothing changes that. Let's be very clear. My friend, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you salvation full and free. It's all of God. It's all of gift. It's all of grace. And it's the God who saves you. It's the God who keeps you. You can still do the same thing a lost man can do. A lost man can just walk right by salvation and everything else, just go on and live his life if he wants to. When he dies, he goes to hell. Still goes to hell. Nothing will change that. A saved person can accept Christ as their Savior. Now they're going to heaven. And guess what? They can still just go on and take that life and do whatever they want to with it. He'll let you. Because he wants you to give him the life he's given you. And to do other than give him the life he saved you for is theft. It's taking what's not yours because he bought that for you too. Why do you think we have a Bible? So preachers can look up stuff to make your Sundays miserable? Think we have a Bible just to get a bunch of these and thous and can'ts nots? You think that's what it's all about? This is God's program for us. This is his will for our life, and this is his way. This is everything we need to know for us. It's all in here. And to not know what that is and find out and search and seek out the will of God for your life and then do it is stealing. You're taking something that was purchased for you, purchased by somebody else, and you're taking it for yourself. Thou shalt not steal applies to my life. Thou shalt not steal applies to my blessings. Well, if they're my blessings, they're my blessings, Pastor Johnson. Oh, no. He blessed you with things so you could be a blessing to somebody else. You know why some people really are not greatly blessed in their life? Because their life blessings are one way instead of a conduit. They're the gimme, gimme Christians. That's very popular Christianity today. Gimme, gimme Christianity. You go to church, they're going to entertain you. You're going to get one of those deals. They're going to a little pat on the po-po, whoop, send you out the door. It's all about give you stuff. Most popular TV preachers are give me blessing preachers. Here's what you do to get a blessing. Send me $100 and God will give you $10,000. Why don't they ever send you $10,000 and they'll get the rest of it? They never do that one. But the point is, that blessing thing, just give me. Because too many people, look here, they just take their blessings and that's it. God blesses you with life and with health. He blesses you with a home and a family. He blesses you with things in your life. And what do we do with that? We just do what we want to with it. See, the truth is, friend, look at me. God has blessed you for the reason of doing something with those blessings. Rather than think, oh boy, I got something, think this. Now what do you want me to do with this? It is true. We don't appreciate something until it's gone. Once it's gone, then we think, oh man, I really enjoyed that. That was something else in my life. Maybe we should go ahead and enjoy it while we're at it. I was kidding with my Sunday school class this morning about my wife and I taking a walk the other day on a nice morning and people walking on the trail and stuff, talking on their stupid telephones. They're out there in the middle of God's creation on a nice cool morning and they can't put their phone down. And I think to myself, look what he made this beautiful day. And you can't put your phone down long enough to enjoy a 20, 30 minute walk or however long it takes you to take the walk without having to talk on the telephone. Blessings of God. Well, it's my life and I'll, no. And there's my blessings too. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Whatever he has blessed you with, there's a reason for that. Doesn't mean you have to give it away. It means he gave it to you for a reason. And to do something other than what he gave it to you for is stealing. He didn't bless us with stuff. You know, it'd been when I was driving down on that Monday, I started thinking this out a little bit better. The more I thought about the fact my Bible was going to wind up in a trash can somewhere, the more it aggravated me. I said, they don't even realize the value of this. Of course, it means nothing to them. It means a lot to me. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, come on, Lord. I'm threw everything into this truck, and we're driving down there so I can preach tonight. Can't you help me out with this just a little bit? And then I thought about my message on motives the other day, and I thought, well, that's not good. So I got to change my thinking about that. I said, okay, fine. However it works out, God, that's fine. But if you want to do me a favor, while I'm driving down to Visalia, I know anybody here from Visalia? Okay, good. The whole place smells like a wet chicken. I mean, I don't know what is up with Visalia. I don't know what's going on. I know it's an agricultural town, but every time we stepped out, I went, I used to live on a farm when I was a kid. I know what wet chicken smell like after a rainstorm, and it smelled like wet chickens, okay? So it wasn't like I was on my way to Maui, okay? I'm going to Visalia. God really doesn't owe me anything. The most important thing was that which was most precious to me, besides that Bible. They couldn't get a hold of it anyhow. What do you do with the blessings of God in your life? Hey, do you even acknowledge that that's where they come from? Do you realize that that's how you got them? And that there's a reason for that? Even just the simplest thing is our giving, our finances. What we do as Christians in our giving. It's amazing how many people, this actually owns them. They don't own it, it owns them. And the idea of giving to the Lord's work is so foreign to their concept, but the last time the lights came on for free was when God said, let there be light. And it's amazing to me, the idea that here God has blessed me with a job and ability to receive and to do something with it, and then what do I do with it? It goes as far in Malachi chapter 3 to say, if I do not tithe, I'm robbing God. Blessings. The things that God has given me and done in my life, if I don't use them for something other than just Mike Johnson, that's stealing. I'm taking what God never intended to give that to me for that reason. When we take what's not our own with our gifts, now I'm not talking about Christmas birthday stuff. You know, God has blessed every child of God with a spiritual gift or gifts, an enablement by the Holy Spirit to help you, to help your church to do its job. I believe most Christians have more than one spiritual gift because I see that in our church. I see people being used in all kinds of areas to help all kinds of folks in all kinds of different ways. You know, that's enablement by God. But how many more times are we going to see people who are gifted or talented by God in a certain area and somebody besides God's work gets that? That's not right. I'm tired of hearing performers who grew up in church learn to cut their singing teeth in church, and now they sing for the devil. Excuse me, that's stealing. Well, they're entertaining people. It's wicked to take what God gave you in the area of gifts and talents and not use them for what God gave you that for. So I don't have any talents, Pastor Johnson. I can't play the radio. I mean, I have no musical abilities. Spiritual gifts, if you list them, look them in the Bible. There's four lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. Not one of them has anything to do with talent. It has to do with abilities for a church to do its job. And God, if you're a child of God this morning, He has gifted you. So how do I know? Get involved, participate, and you'll find out exactly what that spiritual gift is. It amazes you what God has enabled you to do. To do something else with it than what God has blessed you with it is stealing. One more thing. Opportunities. God said to the Philadelphia church, "Behold, I've set before you an open door." He gave them opportunities in their life to be able to do something. And He told that church, "I put this open door in front of you, and when I open it, no man closes it. When I close it, no man opens it." He said, "I've set before you an open door." He wanted them to take the opportunity God had given them as a church to do what they needed to do. You know, God has blessed you with opportunities to do something. Opportunities while you're young to do certain things. Opportunities when the youth goes, but you still have opportunities to do things with your life that matter for God, for His cause, and for the cause of Christ. It is wrong to take the open door of an opportunity or the opportunities of your life and not take them and use them the way God intended. He does have something He wants you to do. He does have something. You say, "Well, look at you, Pastor Johnson. You got your car broken into, stuff was stolen. You got some out of stuff, some of it back." I didn't get some of it back. I got the most important thing back. I didn't just get that back. Ladies and gentlemen, I still had opportunity to serve God this week. He still gave me something to do. I preached a revival meeting out of a pink Bible. With little pieces of paper, I scratched notes on, trying to remember outlines and stuff, messages and stuff that I had preached and what God would have me to preach there. And I called home and they took my Bible and the outlines and they took pictures of them, sent them to me. And I'm trying to read those things over the phone. I can't even read my own handwriting. I can read it when I'm preaching it, but I can't read it over a phone when it comes to, oh, hush. And I can't read my own handwriting. You know, it's amazing. Any guy that writes neatly needs a hormone check. Put little curly Q's on your T's and stuff like that. You got problems, man. I write in Greek, Hebrew, and Chinese, brother. I mean, I know what they gave back. They looked at it and go, "What in the world is this stuff?" They have no idea what that was. And so, you know what? But you see, but Pastor Johnson, why would God give you that opportunity? It's what He put in front of me. Well, how wrong would it be? I could have just said, "Oh, man, I was ticked off." We could call it righteous indignation. I was just stinking mad the more I thought about it. And the more I thought about the consequences of this cost and everything else that involved, I really got aggravated. Now I'm going to go down there and preach the Bible. Yeah, I'll preach the Bible. I'm going to preach on thou shalt not steal all four nights. They're going to get it, brother. I'm telling you what. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And I'm driving down there and praying for God to give me my Bible back, please, Lord. And then say, "Now I got to get my mind on what I'm doing." That guy's out there right now throwing my Bible in the trash can. I know he is. He doesn't care what he has. He has no idea how precious that is. But now, Lord, help me to keep my mind on what I'm doing to be able to preach. Help this church when I go down there now. And that sort of thing. Opportunities. The pastor says one of the best meetings he's ever had. Guy preaching out of a pink Bible with notes scratched from a hotel. Is that God or what? You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, God is putting opportunities before you in your life. How wrong. Look here. How wrong to just kind of go through the motions. Thou shalt not steal. No, we wouldn't take something that wasn't ours. One day, I think it was at Walmart. Was it a dime or a penny, baby, Joel found that day? Something. We were at the register checking out, and there was a dime or a penny laying on the floor, and Joel picked it up. 5-year-old grandson. And he wanted to give it back to that lady. She said, "Well, it's not mine." Now, listen, Walmart's a multi-billion-dollar corporation, but they don't know what to do with a dime on the floor. Finally, the lady just said, "Just keep it." And Joel wouldn't keep it. He went down by one of those coin things for people that need something or other, and he chucked it in there. It was a dime. You say, "Well, just keep it." I even told him to keep it. Said, they don't want it, son. Just put it in your pocket, I guess. He goes, no, I'm going to put it in there. So it wasn't his. Thou shalt not steal. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.